Welcome to worship on this first weekend of a brand new year. At my house, the ending of 2019 has just kind of been filled with putting away things that we intend to move or use into our future home. Everything else I'm trying to get rid of. That's a little hard. I'm organizing receipts, making sure important papers are where they need to be when it's time to do the taxes, and working on a budget, the planner for 2020, you know, all those good things that we do as adults, right? And the new year often also rings in with resolutions, right? We like to resolve to be more organized or to simplify things in our life or to make some sort of change that we feel called to make. And we arrived here for worship this weekend, and the Christmas decorations have been put away and the poinsettias have been given away. And I like kind of two things about that. My soul kind of needed the simplicity and the beauty simple in this room for this weekend. But I like the reminder, two things, that change is necessary. Even in the church, maybe especially in the church, change is necessary. And perhaps that our call, our resolution for this year should be to heed the words of Jesus in our scripture and to become more childlike, especially in our faith. When I was a child, a little while ago, in the year 2020, like, seemed way, way, way far away. Am I the only one? Like, when you were kids, did you even think about 2020? And I don't really recall wondering about what life would be like now, but somebody did, because we have Star Trek, right? And so plenty of other people imagined what our lives might be like. And yet, you know, here we are. We're still inhabiting planet Earth. And we haven't yet conquered space, the final frontier. I said it last night. My hubby would be so proud. I didn't even look at my notes. And I right pause and everything. He loves this stuff. We are being bold. We're bold in areas of, like, technology, right? There have been a lot of changes in our lives, in our world. But for all of those changes, our scripture for today is a reminder that some things have not yet changed in our world. There was a fascination with a person's rank, or perhaps their title. And, you know, looking good was still a good thing then. It was not uncommon for that to be a focus in the setting of the scripture. A person's worth was measured by social status or their earthly possessions or victories as a nation or an army. And the mindset is a possible influence for the disciples' question about who among them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He, Jesus, called a child, whom he put among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." The question is answered in true Jesus style by not giving a verbal response right away and drawing their attention to a child. I'm guessing that in between the question that was being posed and Jesus calling upon the child, that there was a lengthy pause. Much like the time when Jesus was drawing in the dirt or the sand, when they had brought the adulteress to him and said, "What do we do with her?" You know, a pause. I suspect this was another occasion when Jesus' nonverbal actions would speak just as loudly as his words. Picture with me for a moment, if you will, Jesus looking the question asker in the eye and then gazing at the ground while he formulates an answer. And maybe a couple minutes go by before Jesus raises his head and he scans the crowd for a child to meet him eye to eye. Imagine Jesus smiling and then extending his hand, and a little girl skips up to the Messiah. As she takes his hand, it's not hard to imagine that Jesus would kneel, would take that moment to have a conversation with just her. And when Jesus stands and speaks again, he lets those gathered in that moment and us know that unless we adopt a childlike spirit, and unless we are welcoming people, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. When it came to children in those days, there remained an emphasis on having plenty of sons. Sons meant continuing the heritage. Sons meant providing enough helping hands for the father's occupation. And sons meant there was an assurance for parents to be taken care of in their aging days. Among Christians' neighbors and the people that they lived around, Greeks and Romans, for example, it was an acceptable practice to simply abandon unwanted children. One commentary I read said they would even just leave them at the roadside. And early Christians were known to take in those abandoned children. Jesus and his followers taught that God cared for children, and he cared for slaves, and he cared for women, and he cared for barbarians, just the same as he did for men. Entrance into the kingdom of God did not depend on your wealth or your status, how well you could learn, or your personal merit. Jesus represented a reversal of the world's values and identified himself with children and the lowly people that the world tended to ignore. This story in the Gospel of Mark states that the disciples had been discussing this notion of the greatest, and Luke tells us that they reached the point of arguing about it. And here in the book of Matthew, the disciples come straight to Jesus, and they ask him the question. And for us to look at the answer that Jesus gave, we must recognize that entering or seeing the kingdom versus going to heaven when one dies are not the same. In the Gospels, the phrase kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God refers to the reign of God in our lives right now on the earth. It's about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. There is kingdom imagery, and there's a lot of words, but it's not meant to be speaking about leaving earth and going to heaven when we die. It's about heaven, just as Jesus did, heaven coming down to earth while we live. When Jesus says that we are to become like a child, he's not asking us to remain unknowledgeable. For Scripture tells us that we should learn and grow and mature and reason and become disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. Instead, becoming like a little child means that we maintain those beautiful characteristics and qualities of children that life often beats out of us. It was just a simple water bottle. Our oldest granddaughter, Ember, received it several years ago during kindergarten. She was participating in the Earth Day cleanup they do around this area, and they cleaned up the park across from their school, and they cleaned up their playground, and she loved that water bottle. She toted it everywhere. It went to her soccer practices. It went in the backyard to play. It went to the park with her. It made her first trip to Grand Camp. But this past summer, that thing was starting to get worn out, and I was having to tape the straw. It was starting to split, so I would have to tape it so that it would have suction or so that the little straw part would stay attached. So like I knew it needed to go, but it took me several days to actually place the bottom part in the recycling and throw away the lid. Why was that so hard? Right? It was a water bottle. It was the memories of that chubby little kindergarten hand that first held it. And it was the delight in her eyes at telling people that her papa's work gave her that water bottle just for cleaning up the playground. And it was the joy of blue sparkling eyes and a little toothless smile playing soccer with her friends. Because now her questions are getting harder. And she's only 8, but she's becoming pretty independent. And she's growing up, and that's a blessing because that's what we want for them, to grow and to learn. But I just wanted to fill that water bottle one more time. Gosh, you guys, I just look at so many people that I love and have helped me grow up. I'm sorry. One more time. As if filling that water bottle one more time would keep her in these simpler days of awe and wonder. To be a child, to have a tender conscience, to have joy in the little things, to be hopeful, easy to trust and easy to forgive, to show unconditional love, thinking the best about life and other people, being willing to learn and grow. These are the qualities that tend to define children, but too many times, somewhere along the way, we decide that being an adult doesn't include those things. Adults tend to hold grudges, and we harbor fears, and we struggle to forgive, and adults do things because that's the way they've always been done. And we have trouble imagining doing things differently. But not children. Children live. And not Jesus. Jesus lived in awe of life and in awe of God and in awe of the humanity that surrounded him. And this attitude of living was contagious. People who saw how Jesus lived began to see how God intended our lives to be lived. Those who begin to live life like Jesus are those that begin to see heaven come down to earth. Despicable Me. I haven't watched this movie in a long, long time, but the guy in black, his name is Gru, and his job is to be a supervillain. And Gru was outdone by an up-and-coming villain named Vector. And Gru thought that in order to regain his number one status, so to speak, was to announce to the world that he was going to shrink the moon and then steal it, okay? And there were a few hilarious attempts to do so, but Gru needs to break into Vector's fortress and steal the shrink ray gun before he can do all of his stuff, okay? It doesn't happen. And along that time, Gru encounters these three adorable little girls. These three girls live in an orphanage, and he encounters them because they're going door to door trying to sell cookies to raise funds for the orphanage. So like any good animated movie, the plot then is that Gru is going to adopt the girls and take them home because then he can have them go to Vector's store to try to sell cookies, and he'll go in and steal the gun. You see where this is going? Okay. Yes. But what Gru doesn't count on is that he's going to take Margot and Edith and Agnes home. When you adopt a child, you kind of have to take them home, right? And you put them to bed, and you raise them, and you spend time with them. And he grows attached to them. And the changes come. And as the changes come, Gru becomes the truer version of himself. How do we become as children and usher in the kingdom of God? Ask questions. Anybody that's ever led a class full of children knows they ask lots of questions, lots of good questions too. Become like a child. Laugh and play. Imagine. Sing. Even if nobody wants to hear you, sing, dance, dance, hope, dream, forgive, create, trust, be excited, be adventuresome, be tender of heart. Don't get bored with flowers or bugs or sunsets. Believe. Believe and most of all, love. Living this way will usher in our childlike nature, and we'll see the kingdom of heaven in our lives. Let us pray. Patient and loving God, we thank you so much for your message today. And we thank you, Lord, for children in our midst. Help us, Lord, to pay attention to their nature. And then help us, Lord, to enjoy it with them. We know, God, that there has to be adults and there has to be adult things that happen. But help us to hold on to that childlike love for you and that awe and wonder of all that you bring our way. We love being yours. Help us honor that in our living this week. Amen.